الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. This is a translation of a majlis held by Mawlana Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib in Jalalabad Sharif on Saturday the 5th of Jamaad al-Ukhra 1409 corresponding to the 14th January 1989, which means approximately 29 years ago, more than 29 years ago. This particular bayan or majlis was conducted by Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. The subject of this particular or the topic that was discussed was harms of wasawis and their remedy. Wasawis, waswasa, stray thoughts is mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Min sharril waswasil khannas alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri nas min al jinnati wan nas. In fact, it is the last surah, and it is as if Allah Ta'ala is giving us a message that you can make amal on the entire Quran Kareem. But at the end of the day, right at the end, no matter how much you may try, and how much effort you may make, and how much you may think yourself to be successful, there's one issue right at the end, that is, you are not going to simply overcome it yourself. It is important that you turn to me, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qul, say, make dua, a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, I seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, I seek protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are going to require my protection, even if you make amal on the entire Quran Kareem. What are the things that a person requires to take precautions by making dua unto Allah Ta'ala to be saved from? It must be something very major. Right at the end of the Quran Kareem, make amal wa timul hajj, complete your hajj, wal umrah, complete your umrah. Quran Sharif gives instructions, aqimus salah, perform your salah, kutiba alaykum usyamu, fasting has been made compulsory upon you, wabil walidaini ihsana, be good to your parents, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hundreds of laws and regulations. Stay away from liquor, yasalunaka anil khamri wal maisir. Stay away from gambling. Innama yuridu shaytanu ayyuqiya baynakum al-adawat wal-baghda fil khamri wal maisir. Remember Allah Ta'ala, ya ayyul ladhina amudhkurullah dhikran kathira. Remember the day of Qiyamah, ya ayyul ladhina amudhkurullah wal tanzur nafsum ma qadnamud ligat. Let everyone think what is taking for his akhirah. Remember maut, kullu nafsin dhaiqatul maut. Throw out the Quran and Kareem. And right at the end, Allah Ta'ala puts these two surahs. The mu'awwadhatayn. It's tathniyah. Mu'awwadh means to seek protection from. And these are qul a'udhu. It's one. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Second one, qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Two of them. Mu'awwadhatayn. It is tathniyah in the Arabic language. And this year at the end is the main thing, to seek protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan and the wasawis which shaitan brings to the heart. So the harms of these wasawis, and is a remedy also for it, a cure also. Wherever there is any harm, there is a cure also. If there is any spiritual sickness, there will be a cure also. If there is lies, there will be a cure for lies. If there is stinginess, there will be a cure for stinginess. If there is jealousy, there will be a cure for jealousy. If there is pride, there will be a cure for pride also. Just as you have a cure for heart problems, diabetes, or high blood, etc. There are cures in the Quran and Kareem that are mentioned for various spiritual sicknesses. And attending or giving attention to wasawis, it's a sickness also on its own, and it requires some cure also. Who's going to prescribe the cure? In the physical world, you find a doctor, a hakim, surgeon. They are the ones that are the experts. They will give you a cure to say, take this medication. So many times a day, you require operation at times. Very severe the remedy is very, very severe. At times, they amputate also. Gangrene is set in. The leg has to be amputated. Otherwise, it's going to go, the gangrene is going to spread further. Allah Ta'ala save us. There we are prepared to take the pain because we want health. But in the spiritual world, we don't want to take the pain. We feel it's too hard. Never mind our ruh die a death. Never mind our ruh is strangled. Never mind our ruh becomes weak. Like at the moment in a country, there's a huge outcry about a sickness called listeria. What a L. Listeria. It is such a sickness. They have tracked it. After a year, eventually the government found out what is the cause of this sickness which people never heard of before. It's a terrible sickness, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, fever, and ultimately 180 people died in this country. There's another almost 1,000 people that have got the sickness. They couldn't find where does the sickness start from. They thought it's got to do with perhaps vegetable, fruit that has not been washed correctly, thoroughly, and there are germs there, there are bacteria, and people are eating it. Because whoever would get sick, they would interview that person, what did you eat? You must have eaten something. And they would say, we ate potatoes or whatever it may be, and they would track it to that. But 3-4 days ago, a group of, and I'm saying this here, is a lesson, may Allah save us. Islam taught us hygiene and cleanliness. Mustn't take it for granted. When we say, for instance, in a madrasa, don't bring your cooked food and store it and give it to others, you're going to cause a problem. There's no fridges, students don't have fridges, you keep it, you don't know for how many days, you share it with others. Allah forbid, sometimes the thing is rotten inside. The meat, the mince gets fungi, bacteria, germs. A group of youngsters, they ate different places in Soweto, and 4 or 5 of them, they all got sick. And they rushed him to the hospital, and he saw one is being coming in. It was, I think, on a weekend or so. 5, 6 of them. And each one, when I asked him what to eat, he said, we ate some polony. And like how you have police and detectives investigating crime, you have medical detectives. They call them medical detectives. People who are specially trained to go and examine food in the causes of sicknesses. They were on standby. They tracked it. Where did you buy it from? At a certain place, ShopRite or at Checkers or whatever. They rushed there. They took samples from there. Where did you get it? In the end, it was tracked to Petersburg or Polokwane, what they say, in another town. And Rainbow, it was produced by the Rainbow chicken plant, the polonies, etc. They rushed to the factories. They surrounded the factories. They went in there, and police were with health department officials. They raided that whole plant. They took all whatever. They took samples. They said that this is the cause of the sickness. This year is the cause of the sickness, this listeria sickness. And they closed up the all the factories that were involved in the production. And they recalled from all the hypermarkets, even Woolworths, all the bologna, all has been recalled. It's not only bologna, sausages also, and other things also, all the products. Bring it back. And there's a huge investigation going on. If we do wrong, we must expect wrong results. If you do wrong, you're not going to get something right out of doing wrong. If you do right, everything will be fine. If you have respect for people, they will respect you. You don't respect people. You don't respect your seniors. You don't expect, no, they must respect me in turn, and they must be good and kind, but you don't want to show respect to them. Similarly, we don't respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't respect the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must expect there will be a comeback. You do things wrong, you can't expect right results. If we obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There will be a little inconvenience here there, but ultimately Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because of showing respect and following the law of Allah Ta'ala, they will be good in it. So I was explaining, just by the way, stocking old food and smuggling things into an institution, it's terrible. You don't know what you can cause, you do not know. Everything has to be speaking Spain. In our homes also, they found out wherever there's meat, if there's no hygiene there, if there is no cleanliness there, that is where a lot of sicknesses can be sourced from. So wasabis and the remedy for wasabis. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasul Karim. If an individual is a murid and his heart wanders in a certain direction on a rare ikhtiyari, non-volitional basis, but his mind deliberately follows in that direction on a volitional ikhtiyari basis, the end result is vexation and difficulties, which is known as parishani, and he achieves nothing. At this time, it's a great need for firmness, mazbuti. It's just a one paragraph. But believe me, there's so much knowledge and wisdom in this year. First of all, Hazi speaks to a person who is a murid, a person who wants peace of mind. He wants ta'aluk with Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants a life of contentment. You're not going to get happiness every day, but you'll be contented with what we have. And his heart wanders in a certain direction. The heart also wanders. The heart also roams about. The heart also is busy touring. We in namaz, the heart goes to business, or the heart goes to home, or the heart goes to certain activities. Right. The heart also, everyone will say, yeah, my mind was going this way, that way. There's not a person that can say, even if he's not a murid, can claim my heart doesn't wander in any way, my mind doesn't go anyway. It will go, right. Number one. Number two is this here, that to a certain extent, to a certain point, it will be unintentional. And to a certain point, it will be intentional. The heart can, or the mind can wander, shaitan just brings the thought. But after a certain point, it will become now intentional. A person will enjoy it. Now intentionally he allows his mind to wander. Difference? Tell somebody, stand on one leg. It is in his power. You tell him now, lift up the other leg. He said, it's not in my power. If I lift up the other leg, I'm going to fall down. Similarly, to a certain extent, we won't be able to help it. Shaitan will come in the salah. One buzruk, we heard from Azir Rahmatullah Ali. He was reading very nice namaz. Suddenly, something changed. He starts his salah, and the thought comes to him, where are you going to eat from? He didn't have a wife. So, now, the shaitan brought the thought. Now his wife, mind is wandering to food. Where are you going to eat from? Though he used to prepare his food after salah. So in his mind he used to respond, I'll eat after namaz. What are you going to eat? I'm going to make curry. And do you have potatoes and tomatoes? Meanwhile, the namaz is carrying on. The ruku become potatoes. The tomatoes are in the sajda. Whilst he's sitting, how much masala he's going to put in. After a few days, because he was sincere, midway, see Allah, what is happening to my salah? Look at the condition of my salah. And he realized, he said, no, this is shaitan. Because he was sincere, he made dua. So what he did? One meal he prepared beforehand. And he kept it in a cupboard. It was nafal salah. He started performing nafal salah. What are you going to eat? Assalamu alaikum, he broke his salah, he opened the cupboard, he said, oh shaitan, this is my food. I got my food ready here. Don't come and trouble me. There's my food. You trouble me now, I'm going to read 2 rakat extra. He started his salah, gone with all the thoughts. Shaitan was scared that he's going to read another 2 rakats. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, someone came to him and complained, Hazrat, in those days there were no banks, I hid away a huge sum of money. Gold coins was dirham and dinar. I can't remember where I hid it away. I can't just say, where did I put that money? Imam Sahib told him, go and make a wuzu, being mindful of all of mustahab, sunnats, etc., completely, number one. Secondly, after that, make it as perfect as possible and perform your salah with most concentration. Go and do this. The person went, he made a nice wudu. You can imagine, I mean, for money, if it was one of us, and imagine you had put 5,000 in somewhere, and there's a masala, you will get it, but you must make the best wuzu. I think we will make a super wuzu. He made the best wuzu he could, and he stand with a lot of humility, humbleness. He just started his namaz, a thought came to him. The money is buried there. He quickly ran, broke his namaz, dark, he found his money, he ran to Imam Abu Hanifa, Hazrat, Hazrat, your barakat, your duas. But how did you know if I do this? I thought, where is the money now buried? In which part? In a garden or in my yard? And where is wuzu and salah? Imam Sahib asked him, you finish your sabah? He said, no. He said, don't forget, it's a masala. You started nafal namaz, you broke it, you can't say it's only nafal. You have to repeat it. You must make qaza of it. But how did you know? He said, you know how I knew? I understood shaitan wants to trouble your namaz, so he made you forget. فَأَنْسَانِهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ. When we forget at times, it is from shaitan. This ayah here, Musa alayhi salam in Surah Kahf, it comes. The person was with Musa alayhi salam, Khizr alayhi salam, he was supposed to remind Musa alayhi salam about something. He never reminded. When Musa alayhi salam asked him, what happened? He said, shaitan made me forget. Yusuf alayhi salam told the person who left jail, you must remind me about, you must mention me to the king of Egypt. Just mention him, I'm still sitting here 13 years or 7 years has passed or whatever it may be. He forgot. And what did he say? Shaitan made me forget. So that's what I understood. So when you started your salah and shaitan saw you, how much concentration, he got a fit. Shaitan got a fit. He got angry that your namaz is now going to be so nice and you're going to read even more namaz because you want Allah's help. Quickly, he came and he explained to you, this is where the money is hidden. So this is how wasawis work. This is what is ikhtiyari, what is in our control. And this is what is ghair ikhtiyari. Ikhtiyari, you can lift your one leg. Ghair ikhtiyari, you can't lift the other leg. You're going to fall down. When we start our salah or anything, in the beginning it is ghair ikhtiyari. It is not in our power because the thought has to, the key has to be turned. The engine has to run off the wasawis. So what happens? The key is on, the shaitan comes now with the thought. The mind now, either if you are going to do and rectify now that bad thought, evil thought, shameless thought, whatever it may be, thought that is making one parishan, depressed, is this now in my power or not to change it? Something happened in the past, it's finished. You know, I can't change it. It is done. I can't change it. Now what happens from here is that you have to remedy it immediately. If not, then the result is difficulties. And nothing is achieved. At this time now, when you realize that this thought, there's no benefit in it, one needs to be very firm. Inshallah, we'll continue from here, possibly tomorrow, inshallah.